This episode of Bad for Business is brought to you by Casper. You know what? It's not just an episode of Bad for Business. It's the countdown to the Entourage movie, episode 3. And we want to thank Casper for being our solo sponsor for this episode. We're going to talk to you a little bit about them now and later in the episode. Sleep is crucial to your health and happiness. And yet, there's a good chance you're sleeping on a century-old spring technology. That's just old, you know? You don't even need to do that. Invest in a Casper. It's one perfect mattress, engineered with just the right support and just the right bounce. We'll ship it to you free, and you could try it in your own home for 100 nights. If you don't love it, we'll pick it up and refund you for everything. Not Bree and I personally, because we don't roll like that, but Casper will. Use code B4B, and you'll get $50 toward your new mattress at Casper.com. That's Casper.com/B4B. $50 toward your new mattress. We really want to thank Casper for taking the initiative and basically saying we want to be the only ones to sponsor the countdown to the Entourage movie. They've been a great partner so far. And we're going to put up some pictures so you actually believe that we use the product.
And a video of how cool it is when you actually
when it gets
open
delivered.
Up. This mattress.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. It literally comes in a box that you...
There's no other mattress.
Like, I don't know if I could fit in that box, and I'm not a very tall fella. You can laugh, Bree. It's all right. We know we're short.
I think you could fit.
All right. On the show today, we have Doug Allen, who's back for his third time, and Kevin Connolly from Entourage, who's back for his second time. And it's a great episode. We get into the ins and outs a little bit of the Seth Green fight scene when we taped an episode years ago in Vegas. And that always seemed to be some of people's favorite episodes. So we go deep on the fight scene. Also, at the beginning of the episode, you know, we taped this episode not that long ago, but a few days ago because of everyone's schedule. We do talk a little Tom Brady. We talk a little Pacquiao Mayweather. It's only a couple of minutes, and I'm sure a lot has happened since we talked about it. So either way, it's a good setup for the episode. And there's only two more episodes after this one left in the countdown. And June 3rd, people, is right around the corner. Now, I need all Entourage fans. I need your ear for a second. And if you're listening to this, you're probably an Entourage fan, okay? You guys wanted this movie. You asked for it. And we were happy to give it to you because we love doing it, just like we love doing the show. If you do want a sequel, we need you guys to go see it. Not only do we need you to go see it on opening night, we need you to bring a friend, bring your girl, girls, bring your guys, bring someone who's maybe never seen the show. And then you have 96 episodes waiting for you. And the reason why I'm pitching you all this is because, and I could say this with a sigh, the movie's great. I dare you to go see the movie, Entourage fan or not, and walk out of there and say that that's not a great comedy. So Entourage fans, like Voltron, it's time to unite, okay? We need you on this. And Bree whispering to me June 3rd, like I don't know when the movie comes out. Way to go, Bree. That's our producer here, folks. June 3rd. Entourage movie, June 3rd. It's a Wednesday. Be there opening night. And just to show you how appreciative I am in advance, here is the Doug Allen and Kevin Connolly episode. This one might break our ratings records. All right, Bree, do the thing where you roll the show and play the music.
Bad for Business. When's Bad for Business coming out?
You think that's a good title?
The greatest I've ever seen in my whole brain. No, I mean my whole life.
Hi, it's Dan Patrick. It's time for another edition of Bad for Business Podcast with my buddy, Jerry Farrar.
Just, you know what? Let's just start like this. We're literally going to turn our phones off. Are we rolling, Bree? Okay, we're rolling.
We're ready to go, boys.
We have a very, very special episode because joining me today, we have the two all-time download leaders. Yes. Of the Bad for Business podcast.
By the way, I don't know who's one, two.
Do we know who's
Doug
the
Allen?
Lead?
That's we Doug Allen on the mic right there. And also Kevin Connolly.
How are
Doug
you? Allen,
Doug now, Allen. I know the numbers, and we're not going to get into the details of the numbers. All
Kevin
I will
and I
say.
Like numbers.
We're numbers guys.
I'm not going to tell you specific metrics. I'm just going to say. Now, you've appeared on the show twice. This is Kevin's. This is now your third appearance. Kevin's been on once before. Kevin is still leading, but when I tell
he's
you...
He's got facial recognition that I don't have.
This is true.
But you
but I also was Rocky the opener. Five. I was also the opener. I think that
first ever.
That benefit. I think that worked. To
I'd like
benefit.
To see demographics because I bet I skew younger. Is well, my guess and more female.
You know why I kind of also give the edge to Kevin, and I'm not even saying this is not even a shot, cons. This is like you
thought
did.
A compliment was coming.
This isn't a shot. No. You didn't really, because this is like over a year ago, your social media skills haven't got you what they are today. You didn't really tweet. Doug called in an army.
Doug no, loves.
Doug, everyone saw the tweets.
Retweeted. Doug
everyone
loves tweets. His social media.
I have nothing else. I have nothing else. I mean, I'm, you know, I'm old.
Well, also, I want to congratulate you, and I'm also going to congratulate you, because I'm sitting in front of two sports Emmys.
I don't think he knows.
I don't think you know the news. Kevin Connolly
directed
a great, we talked about it in his last appearance, and he won a sports Emmy for it, the 30 for 30. And Doug produced the documentary we talked about as well on your first appearance, and you won a sports Emmy.
Yeah, and by the way, I've never been prouder, but also this is a very Johnny Drama moment because no one believes me.
Right. Until it's sitting there. Yeah, I mean, until it's sitting
I've
there.
I've never seen it. My own agent is like, I can't
but
find
where is it
online.
Yeah, where is it?
I'm like, what do you want me to tell you? Like, you know, and I actually had Eric LeGrand was there. He was at the sports.
The great
Emmys
Eric and, LeGrand, yeah.
So Eric.
You got yours, right? Connelly?
I think I do. But I think also, too, what happened was last year when we won ours, we were the, it was the first time that they won. I think they're 30 for 30 is about to run the table and pull a, you
know, a
daily show or whatever, where they win a bunch.
Except
of
did
around.
You hear what happened?
Big
to
news
them?
Today out of what? The 30 for 30
Bill
camp.
Bill Simmons is gone. What
Bill
does that
Simmons
mean for
is
30?
Bill Simmons is gone from Grantland and ESPN.
But does that mean 30 for 30 is gone? Or
no, he's off. No, no, he's just off.
But he created it. I don't know.
Doesn't matter. He's
but they I they, believe they paid it. Big dollars for that brand. So
they footed the bill. But
that's a big loss. That's a big loss.
Yeah, but apparently, you know, according to what I read, that was like sort of in the...
It was building because like, he got suspended
a year ago. I always thought he was kind of popping, but he got suspended for nothing. I mean, I thought he was kind of...
Well, he called Roger Goodell. I heard the podcast. He literally was like, Roger Goodell, you're a friggin' liar. And
right.
When you kind of mess with the NFL and ESPN and that contract, they just, I'm sure the NFL called ESPN and said, tell your boy.
I mean, he's their most popular guy right now.
Yeah.
And by the way, before we get to the entourage stuff, like,
sure.
let's talk about the Brady thing for starters. Okay. Now, I've always told people, listen, you know, look, I'm a Dolphins fan. That whole logic goes out the window. But, you know, truth be told, Tom Brady has been very good to me, and he's been good to Doug, and he's been good to you, Jerry.
He's been like, good to everyone associated with
Entourage. Everyone has done the show. He did the movie. He's done everything for us. So you're never going to get me to say a bad... you're never going to hear me say a bad word about Tom Brady. So, but, I mean, come on. This is... They're talking about an 8-game suspension for this guy? Is that going to happen?
No way.
All I know is I got way too many tweets about my line that says Tom Brady sucks balls. And you see how they probably turn that around.
Look, they can't suspend him for 8 games. Yes, they can. And they will. He's going to get suspended 6 to 8 games.
They suspended Greg Hardy for almost killing his girlfriend. And
it's a little bit different circumstances, of course.
Yeah, I just don't think, I don't know.
They suspended Sean Payton for a year for knowing that about Bounty Gate.
They were trying to injure people. Here's the thing on how I
come
out.
That's a good point,
too. The biggest problem I have on the entire thing is why... And I don't want to say he's, maybe it's all a big scam, whatever. Why didn't he just come out the first? It's really not a big deal. I've listened to 10 quarterbacks.
Did you see the text messages?
They all do it. Yeah, no. But what I'm saying is, why didn't he just come out and say, look, I like my balls like this. I made a mistake. Because everyone, including all the players who hate Tom Brady, are coming out and going, this is not really that big of a cheat. The problem is that he got up there,
right,
looked everyone in the face,
and said, I don't know anything about it.
Right.
Listen,
and that's
in politics for years and years and years, the cover-up is always worse than the crime.
So
you
it's
mix
a shame.
It just goes, it just goes. It
so
goes.
What would you do if you're the commissioner, if you had to lay down, and I'm not saying you got it, but he has to get suspended.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but does he get, you
they're
know.
They're going to probably make a point, because it's the Patriots too,
does
and
he get special treatment?
With,
not and good or bad.
Well,
you
now
know
they're
mean?
Now that they're pushing it to special treatment. I think he's getting 2 games, and I actually think that's the right thing. I don't think he's suspended for 8 games.
He's going to get 6 to 8 games.
I'd be shocked, but we have it here on this thing. But I would be shocked.
Well,
and I would be shocked if Belichick gets anything.
Well, he's not going to get anything because he's been cleared.
He's
been cleared.
Well, it's all kind of hearsay. So
right.
I mean, like I could come up with a scenario that those locker guys are.
But those
know,
text messages are pretty
damning.
The
guy's calling himself the deflator. Yeah. I mean, you got to really smart.
And also,
it's all a fake thing because it is what drives me crazy. It is a
the
sting.
Deflator.
I mean, the Colts call the NFL and they figured out a way to dupe them into this happening. And then these guys hand over their text messages, which, why did they do that? It wasn't a criminal investigation. Brady didn't hand over stuff. You wouldn't hand over your text messages.
But then this is sort of thing,
can you imagine,
like,
they got a hold of Connelly's phone?
There'd be some things taken out of context. Listen, but the point is, like, what, you know, Tom Brady is, you know, there's the precedent has been set with that sort of thing. He's in the spotlight 6 to 8 games. I don't know that it's right or wrong. And that's the other thing.
And the history of that.
Here's the question. Is he tarnished? Is his image tarnished?
I don't think so.
In 20 years.
The thing to me is, and I just don't understand it. To me, it's like, why would you do this? He's the best ever. And what he did against the Seahawks proved it. You know, down 11 in the fourth quarter.
That's why, to me, his reputation is not tarnished.
But
those balls were not deflated.
I just don't understand. They were not deflated. And again, like a bunch of quarterbacks today said, and even Jerome Bettis, who was going off on how much he hates the Patriots and all their cheating and stuff, he said this cheating is not really a big deal. It's the fact that he got up there.
So if Tom Brady said, like, hey, listen, you know what, everybody, whatever.
Yeah,
I'd like to take a little thing out of it. I didn't know it was that big of a deal. I apologize to the Indianapolis Colts. We wouldn't be having this conversation.
No, we wouldn't be.
Not at all.
No, it wouldn't be.
I mean, maybe they would have slapped him with something.
A fine.
Like, there's a $25,000 or $50,000 fine, and you lose your fifth round draft pick in 2018.
Right.
And they would have just went right away. I don't think we would have ever heard of
that. But in my mind, he's the best ever, and Belichick's the best coach ever. They just are. And I think that everybody does things. They're being watched so carefully because everyone hates their guts. And, you know.
It's just ridiculous, though, because and I'll end my tangent with, you just got to know better. And the reason why I say you got to know better, it's not so much that I even think what he did was that terrible, but there's nothing that's a secret anymore.
Yeah.
You, in today's day, you cannot keep a secret. Yeah. It's very, very, very hard.
Those text messages are damning.
Could you imagine? Because, by the way, if the guy doesn't turn over his phone, then you're like, well, then what is on that phone? And we can only imagine what's on that phone if you won't turn it in.
I wouldn't turn over my phone to anyone.
Right, but that's, so in a way, he'd still
pull
be...
pull it from my cold, dead hands. That's still why I use Confide,
you know, I wouldn't
way,
want to get in any of your
app
phones.
That I'm an investor in. Those
our first plug, not one of the bad for business sponsors.
Messages vanish forever. Confide.
Talk about my text messages on my phone. Let's stay out of your phone.
Now, look, Tom Brady's got rings. You guys now have official rings. I have no rings. We talk about... Now, how important... Because we make jokes about this kind of stuff in Entourage land, like an Emmy win, a Golden Globe win. Like, let's define it for the audience. Like, what is considered a ring for an actor or a producer or a director?
What's a ring? I don't compare anyone of them, but just because, like boxing, watching a fight and someone voting on it, I don't really care about. Like, you go out in football, you win or you lose, and you get the ring. So I don't really count it as a ring. At the same time, I like the hardware for the house.
Well, listen, Jerry and I have
we've been talking about
Jerry
this for a
and
long
I have
time.
Over the years kind of created this thing about the ring. I mean, it's not a ring.
I love the conversation.
Right. Jerry and I have been talking about this for years. We've talked about whether or not the craft service guy has a ring in his world.
Right, you know what I mean?
Right. So it
Joey does not. By
here's,
the way,
here
our craft service
here,
guy.
Here would be the only thing I would say about it is, like, it will be part of my estate when I die. Somebody will get that. Like, somebody will get that, and maybe somebody will care about it.
I am very proud of it, and I really got a little emotional. I got sad when no one cared and people questioned me about it, but I'm very proud of it. But at the same time, it is like a game you win, and there is no debating it. Just like this fight. They're still arguing who won Pacquiao
Which
Mayweather.
Which is ridiculous.
I was in the fifth row.
Mayweather killed him.
It wasn't even a fight.
Right. See, I you know, I don't think Pacquiao won, but I don't think it was like a killing. I just thought it was a boring fight without...
Like the last Floyd Mayweather we went to when he fought Mosley. It was interesting for 3-4 rounds, and then Mayweather just did whatever he wanted. Yeah.
By the way, if it were a hockey game, it was like a 4-1 win.
Right, but that's the beauty of hockey. You have to put it in the net because we saw the Islanders. The Islanders dominated a game that they lost, and, you know... That's how it goes. But in boxing, I don't know. I wish they went till someone quit. That's what I wish the fight
looked like. Oh, God. Can you imagine?
You know, because then Mayweather, especially in that fight, because neither of them got hurt at all.
No.
That fight, they would have to actually try to knock
someone. Pacquiao looked like he went on a leisurely jog and said, he did nothing.
And that
was his quote. He did nothing.
Big bucks.
By the way, at the end of the day, that's the ring. $180 million.
I would trade Miami for $180 million.
Yeah. Trade it for $80 million. Yeah.
So basically, in our own way, Entourage does have a ring somewhere. Like, if
we won a BAFTA.
We won a BAFTA. Look, the New York Times, the New York Times said we're the best show on TV first season, and I cried. So now, well, that was my ring.
I would like to clear something up. Now, Doug, you've been listening to the Entourage Countdown a little bit. You were on a plane. You listened to a few. And Colin, you don't know any of this. I told you I was going to tell you, and it's nothing crazy. But Rex Lee, who we had on,
putting up big numbers.
A great number too. Rex's episode's rating well.
He basically is saying Colin writes most of the episodes.
He was quoted as saying,
"There's a line
I've never written a line in my life."
There's a line. He's like, "There's a line I love in
you
the
wrote
show."
One.
This is Rex speaking.
We can talk about that.
Talk about it.
Get another drink. Let's get another drink. And Rex said, you know, Connolly must have came up with this line because it was in the script like a few days after he said this to me. You know when Gary Cole's character calls Lloyd a tough queer? Essentially, he was saying, Connolly, we were joking around. Like you kind of said, like, Rex, you're a tough queer.
I
and I kind of looked at Rex like,
my
the fact that I would even sit here and try to fight for the credit for this that'll get me tortured. But it
with my hand on a stack of Bibles.
You never said that.
Connolly, the words tough queer have never left my mouth until right now.
I know.
That, by the way, they probably,
it's so
they
weird
never,
that he
they
would
never
say
left
that.
My mouth either. I type things that I would never say, but things happen. But
it's Rex's favorite line.
But Kevin Connolly and Jerry Farrar, you know, I'll call these guys at 3 in the morning and be like, can you read this? Like, and I don't know if they actually read all
these
scenes.
I never said tough queer. Does that sound like something I would say?
I literally said in the interview.
There's a good chance Connolly's going to beat the fuck out of Rex at the premiere.
Have a word with Rex.
Rex, wow. Were you sitting? What row, Rex?
You did have a little surprise for me. You told me you had a surprise.
I told you we had a little surprise. Now, we're doing a lot of press. The Entourage movie's coming soon. Kevin and I want some input for you because you are a ring-winning writer at this point. We have to go on WWE Raw.
By the way, I made a call about this an hour ago.
And it's in your hometown, correct?
Yes, it's at the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum. Ironic thing that the last time after all of the Islander years and all the my childhood, my last time probably ever at the Nassau Coliseum will be wrestling.
The Islanders would have beat the Rangers, by the way. No doubt in my mind. Just an aside.
The question is, what are we doing?
Here's the and the thing, Doug, is many people have asked. I know Kevin Dillon was like, I'm not doing it until they tell me what we're doing.
Until I hear the creative.
Connolly's made Dillon. Calls. I'll tell you one thing, as a former wrestling fan, I'd like to know.
Kevin Connolly, he didn't write it, but it was his idea to go silent in the Shrooms episode, which was genius.
I actually have that on my notes.
But if Kevin Connolly, which would be unexpected, wore a mask, it would be genius. If Connolly showed up as like, what's his name? Who was the great?
Rey Mysterio?
Yeah. Like if Connolly showed up with a mask, it would be
Rey Mysterio. Connolly. Storyline.
So you would be here when the Islanders mask.
What if we played up the broken leg thing?
And you had
okay?
the cast?
And I had my cast and I took my cast off and smashed Piven over the side of
it.
Would that be weird? Piven could fake it. Piven could do a dive roll. He's an MMA guy. Piven could roll out of it.
Someone,
he's got physical comedy chops.
What makes every, and I spoke to a friend of mine who I believe used to write for WWE, and he said, it's all about who's turning on who.
Right. Now, are That's we together or?
We don't know, but let's say the five of us come out. There's a cast of Entourage.
Listen, I will go off the top rope on Grenier and I will.
I feel like Johnny Drama, Kevin Dillon, would be the one to turn. I feel like someone would promise him, I wonder if he's up for the challenge physically. By the way, we should make an agreement to not do any physical activity.
By the way, anyone who puts their hands on Dillon will fight, even if it's like the Rock.
Stone Cold Steve Austin is going to get punched in the face.
Because I don't want to come out and just do like, here's the cast of the Entourage, and we kind of say, introducing, here's, you know, John Cena, and
no,
we walk off.
There's
like,
got to be some, I think there's.
I also don't want to fight. I don't want to fight anyone.
Right.
I want your viewers to vote on how many people would die if Connolly wore a mask. Like a wrestling mask.
Nobody would know. What do you mean?
But like if we came out individually.
The five of you. They'll know. You all come out.
Oh, they would know. If it's four and then you're in the mask.
I'm saying if we come out. Let's say we come out and then we have a little beef with some of the bad guys. This is what I think they're going to want to do. So we're going to come out. It's going to start off as an interview. Somebody's going to say something offensive.
What'd you say, bro?
And then it's going to turn into that. And then I think a good guy comes out. and defends us, is my guess. I don't know.
So it's not you guys fighting, because thank God, because I know Connell and Jerry, just like on set, these two will be going at it.
No, right before the premiere.
My guess is that we're going to be on the same team.
Right.
Is my thought. It's just going to be a matter of... It's not going to be Dylan turning on you, or I think it's going
to
be us together.
I would love to see that move of Connelly throwing Jerry against the ropes.
Against the ropes. They come back and you hit those.
I will guarantee now, just imagine if, let's say, and this is going somewhere, if the writers at WWE were going to have, obviously someone always takes a dive in a wrestling match because it's predetermined. Do you not think they would say, come to me for sure and tell me to take a dive? Like, I'm going to be the one who gets rolled by Adrian or something. I feel like I'm the easy target.
I'm 100% positive that we're going to be on the same side. Okay. So we're either all going to get beat up. We're either all going to get beat up together. We're all going to get beat up. But if I have my leg cast and I fake that like the leg injury is still going on, then I pull the cast off and smash
somebody. What if like they also invited the cast of like Silicon Valley and then we squared off?
Oh, we will annihilate them. Now we will annihilate them.
Beat up the whole cast.
I am not scared of Silicon Valley.
All right. Well, look, I've been doing something with everyone who's come here. And Kevin, we did talk a little bit about this when you were last here, but I kind of call it the getting in the DeLorean moment. And Doug, you'll be great for this to kind of go back to the moment. No, to the casting moments. Yeah. Like I asked Constance, I asked Rex, Reese was the greatest quote. Reese, whose episode just aired. I said, Reese, you know, where were you? And I'm going to do my Reese impersonation. You know, what, where were you in your life when you got the call for Entourage? He said, I was under a deck. I was building decks for this lady who I ended up seeing years later. And I got the call. And that's all he really had to say about the matter.
How about this for a piece of trivia? The day that I came in and met and read for Doug and these guys, which was another story, was the day that Aaron Boone hit the home run against the Red Sox.
It was the Aaron bleeping Boone home run?
That was the day.
Do you remember who he hit it off of? You must know this. Come on.
Tim Wakefield.
And I remember the quote, the reason why they pinch hit Aaron Boone was because he was in such a slump. They said that his bat was the only bat slow enough that was being able to hang back on the Wakefield knuckleball. He was the only one who wouldn't jump and be way out in front. And he waited back and he still golfed it into the left field. So, Doug, I mean, we'll start with you. Like, if you want to go character by character in terms of like the casting process, because I haven't even talked about mine, but when you're looking for Johnny Drama, okay, and Kevin Dillon walks in that room, what's the first thing that goes through your mind? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember like it was yesterday. It started the night before because Leslie Judge, who's a good friend of mine, was Kevin's old girlfriend, and she told me that Kevin was coming in to read the next day. And, you know, just like the terrible people we are in Hollywood, you just dismiss people because of whatever. It's Matt Dillon's brother. It's, you know, I know from that.
You just go there.
As I remember it, and Kevin says this is not what he was wearing, I remember him walking in with Jimmy Connors' 1978 short white shorts.
Probably came from the golf course.
Yeah, but he says he was wearing golf pants. I remember, like, you know what
this
I'm
is on
about.
Tape somewhere,
those
isn't it?
Those may probably, yeah.
The Jimmy Conn, yeah.
That's how I remember. The little white shorts.
Tiny ones.
And, like, white socks pulled up. And I laughed right when he walked in. And I swear to God.
Like, he was the one guy where that was it. Like,
no, not yet. When he opened his mouth, I swear to you, I had a flash of this guy winning multiple Emmys. I swear to God. I never doubted it for a minute.
But it wasn't when he walked in, it was when he spoke.
When he spoke. I started crying when he spoke. It was just, he was like one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. And
Kevin should have won an Emmy.
He should have won multiple Emmys. And it's people think
it's tough because he was up against Piven, but so Piven won three in a row. Probably should have or could have been Kevin's.
Kevin
got nominated three times, but Piven won three in a row. One of those, and there was the one particular year where
it like season
felt
two
like
or three,
I'll bet you if you went into the voting, it was probably pretty close.
Yeah. Well, I knew, and actually it's interesting because he was the one. He was the one guy that there was actually some dissent over, and I won't ever mention who, but there were people who did not like him, and it was a big, big thing. And I walked out of that casting session, and Lev and I were just like, "Oh my God! Like, how the hell did we find this guy?" And someone called, someone big, and said, you know, I don't get it. He didn't say he doesn't like his act. He said he doesn't fit in with the rest of the guys.
Just didn't see it.
And after the pilot, you know, Dylan stole the pilot, in my mind. Right. And there was a lot edited around him. And then the call came from the higher-ups, like, you got to cut him down. We just don't get it. Kevin doesn't even know this stuff. And
luckily, Kevin does not listen to podcasts. Well, also, so he'll be fine.
By the way, and that person called me episode 3 and said I was wrong.
I apologize.
You know, I was wrong. And, you know, whatever it is, I think it is, I think us, like, it really is our kind of like how we grew up. And I think we all have that guy. And we know he fits in, that he is a little off. But
well, also, too, you know, the other thing is Kevin, you know, is a few years older. And, you know, it's like you have Kevin on one end of the spectrum and Jerry on the other. And not one time in the 12 years that we've been doing the show has anybody ever made one reference to...
Yeah. And I know 15 years apart.
It's 15 years apart, and they act like they were in high school at the same time.
Right, and nobody ever said...
And people called out a lot of things.
People are critical and point out lots of like weird nitpicky stuff, and that's the one thing that I've never one time heard from anybody.
Yeah. Now, what was the process? We got a little bit of Kevin's point of view the last time he was here, and jump in. Like, do you remember what it was like for you? I remember, like, Doug, there was a documentary that HBO did, the tribute to us, and you said in the tribute, you're like... Kevin was retired, and we talked about it, and he laughed like he wasn't, and
I mean, you know, Mike Young and other people kept telling me that I didn't know Kevin, that this guy was exactly what I wrote. The script said a Jack Russell Terrier, okay? That's what it said, you know? And Mike Young used to be like, this guy, he'll fight anybody. He doesn't care anything, whatever. And we went to Sushi Roku together. I'm sure I've seen him act, I'm sure I've seen all the movies, but I wasn't familiar with your body.
Not a big Notebook fan.
Never seen a little movie called The Notebook.
Was Notebook out yet at that point? All right. So anyway, when we went
it wasn't.
When we went to dinner, Kevin just sounded like, I'm big sound.
Right.
Voice, and he just sounded like the guy, but I still hadn't really seen him act. And, you know, again, he's like my friends that I grew up with. So by the time dinner was over, it was already like, I already had this anxiety because he basically made me promise that he wasn't going to come in and not get the part. And I'm like, yeah, of course. Which
psychological
I'm like,
warfare.
Like, but I don't even have the option. Like, it wasn't my power.
But you agreed to it, though.
But I basically agreed to it. So night, I'm like, I hope this guy is right. And then Kevin comes in, and it's a funny thing with Kevin because when he puts on his glasses, he gets like a little preppy look, and all of a sudden his little
those fighting, glasses come off though.
His little,
fucking,
but you know
look
what I'm
out.
Saying? Like his little seat. But you know what, his little fighting energy kind of like, you know, goes away a little bit. So he comes in and he's got his glasses and he looks like a studious kid and he's dressed a little preppy. I'm like, oh fuck, maybe I was drinking sake last night. I don't know. And then the second he started talking, you know, he was just the guy. It was just like, that was the voice. That was what it was. And, you know, we had Tompkins was in there who, like, it ends. And I'm so anxious all the time. I'm like the anxious Jew. I'm like, literally don't think we can cast this show. We're 5 months into the process. And all Steve Tompkins kept going. He's like, he looks like my father. He looks just like my father. But I couldn't get an answer as to whether he liked him as an actor. Just like, I can't even think about it.
That's great, Steve. But what about him for the character of Eric? I don't know about that, but I know he looks just like my dad.
It's the stupidest thing ever.
It was over.
He really disappeared now, right?
Didn't really stick around long,
no,
I guess.
He was gone quick. So, but that was the process with Connolly. And then, obviously, again, it wasn't up to me. So I had to say, that's my choice. I didn't know, like, this thing of like, oh, we'll bring three choices in and let somebody else pick it. It was the most absurd thing I've ever heard. I'm like, there is no other choices. But we ended up going in with one or two other guys for the character of E. And, you know. What else can I say?
No, there was two characters there for I always felt too like you guys stacked the deck a little bit for me.
I can't.
I don't remember the other actors there.
I don't remember any other terms.
The problem with stacking the deck is
stacking deck meaning you two
have
other
to be
choices.
Prepared to live with
one of the deck.
That's the one thing you learn. Like, be careful who you bring in. Like, okay, well, we love Jerry. We're just going to bring in these other two guys just to,
right.
to lay down.
Dressing. And all of a sudden, Chris Ulbricht turns around and goes,
I love that guy.
This guy's the guy.
And I'm the boss.
And by
the
way, this is your whole life consuming, but they're doing 20 other shows. So it might be a bad day. Connolly might come in and have a bad day. And all of a sudden, they like some guy who can't even act. And all of a sudden, you're going, oh my God, why did this show not work when it seemed so good on paper? But... you know, fortunately, it actually worked. I don't remember any of the Turtles. The only other thought that I ever remember for Turtle was Dom. you know, who was my initial instinct before I ever met Jerry.
No, well, there's the one other guy too, right? The big dude from 8 Mile.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Who's now on Ballers?
Is he?
Yes, he's on Ballers.
I think he's one of the stars of Ballers.
Oh, good. Yeah, he was really good, but totally different way, and you know.
Dom makes it a little bit different of a show too. Wasn't it a little darker?
You
back
know what?
Then?
That's where it started. And even Connolly, by the way, because Connolly, while they don't realize it, the haters on Twitter, Connolly's got some bite and some edge.
Well, we're gonna talk about our similarities, you know, and our differences from our characters.
And you know, the show initially, like Connolly, you know, it was like. The first instinct of it was almost Sopranos in L.A., which honestly would not have been good. It would not have.
We wouldn't be sitting here right now.
We wouldn't be doing the podcast counting down to the Entourage movie. I can tell you that
it was a tougher crew, and not that Jerry is not tough.
No, I got those questions too.
But Dom is a different level of badass, kind of. So you know,
no, it would make it a whole nother thing. I mean, it's like even if it's Dom and whoever. If it was Dom and
Mark
Dash and Mark. You know, this one and that one, it's like a bunch of guys going around beating dudes up in clubs in L.A. Probably wouldn't have played very well.
Right.
I guess right.
I think so.
You know, obviously Kevin and I get a lot, as well as the other guys. We get a lot of like people thinking we're just like the characters. And to me, look, I struggled with that early on because you're always like looking to prove that you're so much more. And then now looking back and all, there's just sort of a calm because this makes me feel like we all did our job well. And I guess I'm not holding on as tight anymore because now I'll do this. I'll do 10 more movies till the end because it's just the chance to work with your friends. But I want to talk a little bit about maybe some of the similarities between us and our characters, and then some of the differences. Now, I don't know if we want to speak for ourselves or we want to talk about each other. There's a few different ways we can do it.
Just like as a broad, like sort of overview, I would say this is, you know, that we're all like just far darker versions of our characters.
Like,
meaning that, like, you know, Kevin Dillon, you know, is, you know, drama's kind of tough, but like, I think I'd probably rather fight drama than Kevin Dillon.
That's let's start there. Like, let's match up. Do we think, and we'll play this game, and then I have a question for you. Who would win in a fight? Or Kevin Connolly?
That's ridiculous. I think all of our.
He's pretty tough.
Mad Dog Murphy, bro.
He would bite your ear off.
All of our real life.
You think we'd whoop our characters'
asses?
Yeah. Adrian. You think Adrian would beat Vince up?
I think Grenier would smash Vince's head in. Because Adrian's a little
Ari
crazy.
I think Ari could beat Piven up.
That's a good.
I think.
By the way, that might be the headliner. That might
be
a good
better
fight.
Better than Pacquiao.
I think Ari could beat Piven up. I think Grenier would have a hard time with Vince.
I think Grenier destroyed. I do. Really. I've seen Grenier like flashes of like potential violence.
Throw a couple
and anger.
Of shadow punches.
I think in like season two, I saw Grenier hit a wall or something.
I mean,
like,
Grenier,
wow, Grenier.
Vince is not a fight I'm gonna pay for. But I'll tell you, like, I'm not paying for that.
It's like the undercard, the Pacquiao fight that no one was watching.
You watch
like,
him on the Canelo Kirkland undercard.
If that's on ESPN 3 or something, or you know, Demundo, whatever.
Tell
him
ESPN Trace.
But like, I'm serious. If I could see a card, Ferrara versus Turtle. Connolly versus I'm paying money.
I don't
that, even though I know the outcomes of both of those. But
you think
like
you think the real people beat?
I
think.
But
so.
Is this Skinny Turtle though, or am I going in the ring with a 208 pound?
I always told Jerry my favorite turtle line is when we were at the designers and the girls like said something about we're Brad and Jen's house or whatever, and Turtle says, "You don't understand where we're from. I will smack Brad Pitt in his face." That was always my favorite line. I was like off camera. Jerry's like looking at me like, "Dude, you're making me laugh." Like I had to like compose myself off camera because I was hysterical.
Well, let's talk a minute for the. We didn't have many fights on the show.
Yeah.
Scripted. We had a few, and the most notable, obviously, is the Seth Green square off.
Yeah.
Because here's something I remember. And this I think goes for a lot of actors, and that's why also I want to know your opinion as like the guy who wrote it. It's like we were rehearsing. And I remember is, and obviously rehearsing the fight scene with stunt people, and we as the Entourage were kind of getting our. It was not
right. Well, if you were,
the fight was close at this point.
Couple things. I don't even think it was close. I think we lost that fight. Okay, which is
there
ridiculous.
Some strong guys in there.
But the point is, and to Seth Green's credit, like. Listen, I'm coming to do a favor.
Right.
Not a favor or whatever. I'm guest starring on the show. Like, okay, so I'm going to come on the show and get beat up. And then the flip side to that is, well, I'm on the show, so what? You're going to come on
beat number my one show and you're going to beat me up?
You're going to beat me up? But Seth Green said something, I'll never forget this, because Seth is a very, he's a resourceful guy. Like, who knows? Seth may
he
be
might
like
know
a
something
black
tricky.
Belt in like
Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu
with Seth Green. He can do everything, the guy. So at one point during the rehearsals, because I said to Doug, I think I called Doug from my hotel room.
We had to call Doug because he wasn't there for the first rehearsal.
I'm like, Doug, listen, man, there's just no way. This is fine.
I'm not laying down.
I'm not losing to Seth Green. And Doug is like, well, he doesn't want to lose either. I'm like, well...
This is
we're gonna have
way,
to figure this out.
The fact that this has come back in my career and my life is so funny because honestly, I swear to you,
I love it.
Yeah, none of this entered my thought.
What was your thought process?
Okay, here's what I'll say. My thought process is that E and Seth Green are well matched. Kevin Connolly and Seth Green. I'm being serious. I'm being very serious.
The difference of character.
Like, it's the difference in that. It's the difference in like the guys that I grew up with. There are the guys that you start a fight with them and they just punch you in the face.
Right.
They don't have a conversation. And there's the guys that push you. He's a guy who pushes you or wrestles you. Connolly's a guy who just punches you in the face.
Right.
Like, what are you, an idiot? Like, why did you just punch me in the face? Like, Connolly has hit me.
But
arguments.
Seth Green said to me, because what happened was, you remember this story?
I remember this, I can close my eyes.
It's funny, too, because it was at not rehab, but whatever.
Body English.
Body English
at the Hard Rock.
So, by the way, you know, you're used to being in there at like ungodly hours.
You're there
at the
7
night.
In the morning, God but a different
like,
way.
We're there like with coffee, with our coffees,
Red
like
vines.
Watching. And what they do is the stuntmen act it out and they rehearse it. So they bring us all
to
watch the rehearsal. And I see some guy go over some stuntman go over the rail. And I tap somebody and said, hey,
which one is that?
What character is that? And they were like, well, that's you. I said, are you out of your fucking mind? I said, I'm not going over the railing, bro. Are you fucking crazy? So Seth and I, we know each other for a long time. We're talking. And then Seth says to me, well, why don't we just see what happens?
I remember that like it was yesterday.
I'm thinking,
and I think you said...
I thought Seth Green's a black
belt. Oh, he knows something.
Jiu-jitsu and
he put you in a triangle.
By the way, we have to flashback earlier to even get this story started because the first person I offer this role to is Scott Kahn.
Which is hilarious.
Who is now one of my close friends, but I don't know him at the time. And Scott, I meet like real like actor meeting with
yeah,
Scott.
Yeah,
I had just done
a movie with Scott.
Right.
And
oh, you set it up.
You would have got to him anyway, but right. I just sped it along.
No, but I remember. So, but I go to Dantana's and basically I'm telling him that he's... I can tell, right?
And listen, by the way, with all due respect to Seth, and I love Seth, that's at least a legitimate...
Well, Scott's an animal. By the way,
Scott's
we don't want to get
animal.
Into this, whether it's legitimate, because Scott will be like, okay, Connolly, let's...
What I'm saying is Scott is a brown belt.
He's a brown belt.
Scott's a brown belt. Scott's a trained
fighter. The way, these are not...
He's a boxer. He's like
what? This is not to make fun of anyone. These are not big people, okay? Scott, not a big guy. Kevin, not a big guy.
Scott's tough.
Scott is a tough guy, and he is ready to fight.
He's a tough guy for any size.
Yeah, he is a tough guy, but... So I'm telling Scott Kahn this, and it's funny... Now that I know Scott so well, it's so funny the difference between that meeting that night where it was really like, yeah, I mean, I can't just like pick on Connolly all, you know, a whole episode. That would be weird. And then like,
right,
I'll have to beat him up or something like that. And I'm like, wow. So the thing is, my point is everybody gets into their, even when they're acting, they lose that it's a character. And yes, he's playing himself, but I don't care.
Well,
that doesn't matter.
It's still a character.
Bob Saget doesn't do coke and get hookers, but he was like, well, so some people, they can't get out of it. And then... Cut to 10 years later, I'm doing a pass on the movie Grudge Match, and I'm literally handing it in. It's done, whatever, like 4 weeks. And I get a call from the studio. The movie's already done. I forget who it was, but they're like, either Stallone or De Niro, they can't lose. I'm like,
so it's a draw, basically?
I've never even...
It's a draw.
I don't even think I saw the movie, so I don't know ultimately what ended up happening, but I'm like, you know...
I think it was a draw, by the way.
It goes into these actors' heads when you get into manly stuff that all of a sudden, character goes out the
window.
By the
way,
it's like,
not to take anything away from Scott Kahn or myself or Seth Green, but you're talking about...
Legend.
You know, Jake LaMotta and Rocky Balboa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're talking about two...
It's a big loss
guys
in
that
the
are
column.
Known for... It's a little bit different.
Yeah,
I think the thing with Scott...
They
I think the thing with Scott is like... Listen, you know, and also too, Scott, you know, who's come such a long way back in those days, he had a reputation for being a little rowdy, so he didn't want to portray himself
as rowdy.
I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying it's interesting. Those are things that happen behind the scenes. Sometimes it really is, here's the script, this is your character, and sometimes it is like, I'm not going to do this because it embarrasses me, or he wouldn't do this. There's different levels.
It was fun, though, after Seth said, let's see what happens. I was honestly like, my
You got that butterfly knot.
Yeah. Dropped into my stomach. I was like, holy shit, I'm about to get beat up by Seth Green in front of the crew. The cameras aren't even there yet. I'm like, okay, let's just see what happens. I'll just do my best. And after the first take, I was like, okay, let's roll. Let's see what happens.
You felt a little bit of the...
I felt like, Seth, this isn't going to be good for you. You're a little light. You're a little light in the bones.
I actually ended up getting into an argument with one of the producers. I won't even say the writers. Rob Weiss, who was on set that day.
I won't say it, Rob.
And I love Rob. Rob's a good guy. But, he was in Vegas, but I didn't really see him much that season. But for some reason, he was there at the rehearsal.
Right.
And then when we started doing it. So, and my blocking wasn't like, I had the big meathead that your character initially squares off with. Somehow him and I get locked up and we both go over
the railing. You guys the railing. Right.
And I kind of land on top and I got the better of him. And Rob's like, yeah, I think this guy would just manhandle you. So sure. I don't really, he's then telling the stunt guys, we got to change this. I went, whoa, first of all, you ain't the fucking boss. Doug is. So let's get Doug down here. Wait till Doug gets down here before we change anything. And second of all, this dude ain't fucking manhandled. I think we picked him out from the pool too.
He was a very big, strong kid.
He was
like a rich Upper East Side.
And he was like
kid.
The nice, and by the way, nicest also like the nicest guy in the world that couldn't have been happier
who
to be
was,
there.
But he was a strong kid.
Like, and had no problem with going over and letting me manhandle. He's like, whatever you want
to
do, bro.
And also, too, not to, I mean, it's obviously that whole thing is your vision, but I think the idea is somebody pushes somebody and all hell breaks loose and nobody really wins or loses. It's not like, wow,
well,
so and so got annihilated.
What came out of that, by
it
the
was
way.
Supposed to be a bit of a melee.
But
and
what
that's
came
how it
out
ended
of
being.
That creatively and makes it, for me, makes it one of my favorite moments in the show is that Dylan throws the punch for his friend.
And that's what it should have done. That's what it should
have done. And then it's not like, you don't have to debate it because, I mean, Dylan sort of sucker punches
but it's
him,
just a
you
know, melee.
But
after
that's
what your boy does for you.
It's just like melee ensues. It's like if it were a cartoon, there'd be a cloud of dust and you'd see hands. And that was the whole thing going forward.
But it always a thing. But there was a big deal. I mean, you know, and Connelly, as Kevin knows, I mean, we go at each other. It's like Kevin doesn't call me up because, hey, I'm thinking about this idea. Kevin calls me up. There's no fucking way this is happening. You better get down here. I was in a massage. I think I was getting a foot massage at the time or something.
But here's the even better part is this one I was not involved in. I was managing, so I was breaking it up. But when Bow Wow is no heavyweight either.
We're all junior flyweights.
Jerry, you are a legit middleweight compared to Bow Wow and Seth Green, and so am I.
I would have to come down to fight them.
But by the way, listen, I'm not making this up. This happened. There was 100 people there, and randomly Greg Oden. Right?
Greg Oden
was on the set.
Really?
Greg Oden.
That's the great thing about Entourage. You never know when a number one draft pick is lingering
Greg
around
Oden
back in
was,
the day.
Hadn't played a game in the NBA.
Where's
my photo?
He had been drafted, and he was sitting behind the monitor. And the idea is that now Bow Wow and Seth Green get into it. And Bow Wow picks... Seth Green picks Bow Wow up and throws him on the coffee table, and it's a breakaway coffee table.
Right.
So for the audience that doesn't know what a breakaway coffee table is, I mean, obviously they all you have to do is land on it.
Well, no one gets hurt.
It collapses that way. Nobody gets hurt. I swear to God, Seth Green picked up Bow Wow and bounced him off the breakaway table, and it didn't break.
It's like throwing a water balloon that doesn't break.
True story. These guys bounced off the breakaway coffee table and rolled off to the side.
But then the next fight, which really is like Connelly to me, is Reese. And Reese is...
Yeah, let's talk Entourage fights. Let's just go down all the fights.
Well, Reese is a strong guy. Reese is built like Tommy Hearns. He looks like
he's kind of looks lanky,
but he's a muscular guy.
6'2".
Big guy. He's probably 190, 200 pounds.
And by the way, listen, we're all agree. Well, I think everybody would agree, like, if there's the five of the guys in the Entourage, and then it would be Scott Conn and Reese. Like,
right.
Reese is our boy.
Family, right?
Yes. So... I love Reese. And furthermore, Billy Walsh can act like he hates E all he wants. But I think when push comes to shove, I think Billy Walsh backs E up in an emergency.
By the way, that may give me a good idea for the sequel. There may be some moment where E's got to help Billy Walsh out. But I'm just saying, the scene with you had to like tackle him on a table, right? Like E's
no,
well, the much bigger guy.
Billy, no, outside Barney's. Of outside Barney's. Of the...
No, when you, it was with, El, it's with Elvis oh, Mitchell,
right?
Right?
He doesn't that's remember.
Right. That's right. No, that's right. But then we went outside and he got mad because I called him a hack.
And that's when we... Then he takes off his shirt. He goes, "Hack!" Oh, that's the other line you love. We quote Connelly and I quote Reese. And you're writing, and Reese is acting all the time. He literally, after
he got really
they
mad
fight,
when I
he takes
him
off
hack.
His shirt, and he goes, and Reese, as Billy Walsh, goes up to Vince and says, I'm sorry, Vinny. Don't be mad. I just...
Don't be mad at me, Vinny. I just... Don't be mad at me, Vinny. I just... I hate him.
There are some... There are some characters though, that you get, though, where you say writing, acting.
Right.
Like Reese and Dylan... It almost doesn't matter what they say.
Well, I have to say a few things and take a break and read some ads. Not even some ads. I have to read an ad because this episode of the Countdown to the Entourage Movie Podcast is brought to you by one and only company, Casper.
Casper!
All right, Casper. Here's what Casper is. Casper is an award-winning sleep startup that launched with an outrageously comfortable mattress sold directly to consumers, eliminating commission-driven inflated prices. The critically acclaimed Sleep Surface was developed by an in-house team of product engineers with experience from IDEO and NASA. I mean, that's pretty cool. The coolest part, it gets delivered right to your door in a box that's so small you kind of say, how the hell do they do that?
It's pretty cool.
Now, Brie, how long has it been for us?
Oh boy, it's been about a month.
And again, you know, we always say we're not going to put a product on that we don't sleep on. And this mattress has changed my life because my old mattress with that spring technology was not working for me. I'd always wake up with like a bad neck or a bad back. And so far, Casper has been...
He's killing it.
They really are killing it. This is probably he, like Casper's like a person.
But Casper's killing it.
Look, guys, sleep is crucial to your health and your happiness. Okay, invest in the Casper. It's a perfect mattress and this engineer with just the right support. And guess what? We'll ship it to you for free. You could try it in your own home for 100 nights. If you don't love it, we'll pick it up. Not us personally, but Casper will pick it up and refund you everything. All you have to do also is if you use the code B4B, you're going to get $50 toward your new mattress. And the price point starts at $500. So,
yeah, so that's a good deal.
I don't know what more I could do for you people listening out there. Like we've hooked you up with other stuff now. And now like if you're on
this
the fence.
Is a big hookup.
If you're saying like, mattress is kind of old, but I guess we could still. No. This is the way to go. Trust me, sleep is that important. Again, go to casper.com/B4B. You can get $50 toward your new mattress. And, I mean, we're sleeping on Casper.
And so should you.
Gotta love when Brie gets involved. Okay, now back to casting Reese. We were speaking about it earlier. Back to casting Reese. Could you fill in the blank? Because Reese didn't really fully go down the path of his casting. He said he was under a deck. Like, what do you remember from Reese? Because I remember the first time I seen him was the Chateau.
For his first scene. I remember Lev and I looking at each other like, this guy's going to be a giant movie star, and we just made a huge discovery.
And he's probably will be.
I mean, I'm not kidding. Like, the second we walked in, and I remember at lunch that day, you know, like, Adrian, like, all the girls, all the extras, we were always looking at Adrian. I'm not saying they weren't looking at you guys, they were, but it was just whatever.
It's all right.
Everyone was looking at Reese that day, and everyone was going, who is this guy? And Lev and I, like, we just found a freaking movie star. Like, that's what we thought. And it would have been interesting, what I thought, and I would never look back, and Adrian is the best. But we also thought, like, was he maybe the Wahlberg type Vince?
No.
Maybe. Probably not. I'm just saying, that day, we just thought we really found someone special. And we did. We built an entire season around him as the high guest. If he wasn't
as great as he is, he wouldn't still be in the movie all these years later. That character could have come and gone.
He's just unbelievable, and he's got this interesting, cool vibe. And it's weird because I told you guys, and I think I sent you the video, one of you. My friend sends me from Florida this video of Reese singing. The kid's unbelievable. Yeah, I've known him for seven, eight years.
Is he like an opera singer?
No, he's singing? Blues, playing the guitar. I'm telling you, unbelievable. You'll freak out.
He's like one of those guys that just has talent. And that's what I noticed by having him on the podcast as well. Like, not that he was uncomfortable, but it didn't look like he loved talking about himself. You know what I mean?
Like, where was I casting? I was doing a play on the Upper East Side that three people watched. In the early days
of like Billy Walsh's arrival, like a lot of his scenes were he and I.
It would be
early in the morning, and I was like, I wanted to reach him. I don't know how else to say it. I wanted to say to him, like, hey man, do you want to get a drink? What are you doing this weekend? Do you want to hang out?
We did talk about when he butchered his hair at your birthday in Vegas.
And I'll never forget it. We were shooting the scene, and it was really early in the morning because a lot of people, and I'm not sure if you've talked about this, but with our locations, we would shoot in restaurants.
Right.
We would have to be there so early because they would need us out of there by 10:30, 11 o'clock. So we'd literally be sitting there at 5:30 in the morning, like trying to get out of this restaurant.
The dumpsters are picking up the trash in the back.
This day, and it was the day where he says, "I'll tell Cameron to wait in the snow like everybody else." That's the scene that we were shooting. And my birthday was coming up, and we were all going to Vegas, and Jeremy had to cancel at the last minute because Pearl,
his niece, yes,
Pearl was born. His niece was born. Aww.
So that's the landlord, by the way. Landlord. Have you ever seen that YouTube video? It's amazing.
So it was the day that Pearl was born, and there was like an extra ticket, and I'm like sitting in Reese, and it was really early in the morning, and he's like, we're like leaning up against the bar, and I was like, "Hey, what are you doing this weekend? You want to go to Vegas?" He's like, "What'd you say, man?" I said, "Do you want to go to Vegas?" He's like, "Nah, man. How am I going to go to Vegas?" Or something like that. He's like, "Yeah, I've never been to Vegas. I don't know what you're talking about." I'm like, "Well, Reese," I said, How do I get there? What do you mean? How do I get there? I said, "Reese, listen, there's going to be a car in front of your house. It's going to be a black car. You're going to walk out. You're going to get in it. It's going to take you to the airport. And the rest of us are all going to be there. And you just go." And he's like, "And where am I going to stay? What about a hotel room?" I'm like, "Reese, you have a hotel room. The only thing you have to do is bring clothes
right,
and you show up. Don't have clothes, you don't need money to gamble. You can gamble. You cannot. All you have to do is walk out of your house and get in the car." And he's like, kind of nods at me like maybe he might beat me up. Like he's not really sure if I'm like,
"You're fucking sketchy with him or something." You're sketchy, man.
Yeah.
You're sketchy, man.
Long story short, Reese comes and he goes with us.
It's not long story short.
It was a Saturday night. We're leaving Sunday morning. And the last thing I said to the guys was, "Guys, everybody has to be at the VIP services entrance at 11 a.m. I'm like, not 11:10, not 11:15, 11 o'clock sharp. Now, there's a few loose cannons in the group, obviously. Everybody's there. 11 o'clock. Bag in hand. No Reese. 11:05, 11:10, 11:15, 11:20. Reese comes around the corner with a shaved head.
But not even shaved. Like,
right, it was not a good shave. By the way, I hope you asked him how that happened on the podcast.
Well, our audience heard Reese's view. Reese said that he cut it. What did he say? He cut it with
scissors.
With just regular, hand scissors.
All right, so anyway.
Why?
Cut to.
He didn't say why.
Cut to him showing up on set. We're in the middle of an episode, which obviously, if you know, you don't shoot in order. So all of a sudden, I have a guy who doesn't have a sequence. Now, this is one of the greatest moments of my life that I came up with this on the spot, and it actually worked, because we could shoot this moment that he freaked out and shaved his head because he was so nervous.
That wasn't initially in the script.
Oh, no,
it wasn't. It was the Sundance episode. Right, where we're like, "How you holding up? What do you mean, how am I holding up? I'm freaking out. I shaved my head."
Oh, I had a dream. Everyone came to our hotel. They butchered us.
We put that hat on his head for the scenes before, and that came up with me freaking out and walking around the thing. But quick Reese stories, because I love the kid, and one of my favorite moments in the entire show is that scene with you guys at the chateau. And the line, which sums up exactly who he is and brings me back to my life, which my dad's good friend owned Key Foods, but he says, he acts like he's real tough, like he's from the Bronx or wherever he's from, and he's like, "Where are you from?" And he says, "Where are you from?" He goes, "No, Great Neck, but my dad owned a Key Food in Kew Gardens." You know, that I love. Then the crazy other thing that Reese does, we build like the entire third, fourth, whatever season around Reese.
Wow, this is awesome. By the way, I was an eyewitness. I was standing next to you, the dirt bike.
Yeah.
I was standing next to you.
The guy, we're shooting 50 miles away.
First of all, we're shooting at this place. Remember?
Disney Ranch.
Is that the Disney Ranch?
Yeah. It's far away.
Santa Clarita.
It's not close.
Far. And it was, early in the morning, 6 a.m. call time.
And raining.
And it was like misty. It was raining.
Well, it was January.
And Reese, who, just understand it, if something happens to Reese, the whole season is shot.
Because right, he's like the
biggest character after our five guys in that season. The biggest character. And he shows up on a dirt bike. Not even a motorcycle, which would be insane enough.
Street legal dirt bike. Jerry,
who says it was street legal?
No, because it had a license plate on it. It had a license plate on it, but it looked like he was going to go jump a bunch of demolished cars. He looked like, Evil Knievel. He really did. And he had on a really shitty helmet. Remember, he had on like a crappy helmet. Doug, the color drains out of Doug's face. Doug's like, oh, we got to lease this guy a car. I can't have this guy riding around on the dirt bike all season. I can't have it. What happens if he...
And then now, 7-8 years later, Reese and I like to meet at my favorite dim sum place, Din Tai Fung, which is 38 miles away. So the first time I call him, because he sees it on Instagram, he's like, I really want those dumplings, you know? I'm like, well, we'll go. He's like, you tell me next time you go. And I'm like, all right. So I call him up. He's like, I need an hour. I'm like, all right, I'll see you there in an hour. I don't even know where he lives. I've never been to his house. He shows up on a bike. He takes, not a dirt bike, in a Schwinn with the whole, now he looks like the yuppie who does like 40 miles. I'm like, how far was he? He goes, 38 miles. I feel great. God. And so we meet and he takes his bike there now. So
Reese slept over one night. Reese and I had a sleepover one night. It wasn't pretty. It was not pretty.
You found some girls though, correct?
No. Okay. We just went out. We like, hey, you want to go out for a beer?
Don't ride your dirt bike.
Right. He shows up in a pickup truck and he slept over. And it's like, you know, look, you're out, you have a couple drinks, but like in the morning time when it's like you walk through the kitchen.
You're looking through a different lens.
Yeah. I'm looking at Reese and like, how you doing, man? Good times last night. I was like, man, that was fun. Thanks for inviting me.
I think he is my favorite character outside of the guys.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, when the scene that you're talking about, which is where I'm like, I say to him, oh yeah, that's you know, it's write something about right on time. He's like, that'd be great if I knew who the fuck you were. And then he's like, is that your thing, E, being on time? I won Sundance at 24. How's that for an early arrival? Right?
He actually quoted that line to his favorite line. I think it's his
but
favorite.
we had that moment where we're sitting. He's like, Vince, I want to shoot you long lens,
like McQueen
in Bullet. Or whatever, so. Pope of Greenwich Village,
really fill the frame.
Whatever it is, you really fill the frame. But we're sitting there and Adrian and I are on one side of the table and the first shot is him. This is the first thing that we've done. We haven't done the stuff inside.
No, the first time you're laying eyes on
him. First time
really,
I'm watching
right?
this guy act and the camera's not even on us and I'm like literally leaning back in the chair and the first time he opened his mouth, I literally went, holy shit.
Yep.
I had a smile ear to ear because I knew.
You knew you had the awesome.
I was just like, this guy's a beast. You awesome knew it character. The second he opened his mouth.
Hey, I'm not a suit. Yeah, you are, bro.
Yeah, you just don't know it yet.
I want to talk, and they don't have to necessarily be signature Entourage locations. They could be. I kind of have a little list here. Like, if you were to kind of point out, or if we were going to go shoot something tomorrow, where would you want to shoot it? Like, if we look past all the, like, and I'm talking Earth Cafe, Staples Center, you got, like, Ari's office, you got Drama's condo, you got whatever Vincent
Our
Chase house that
Mastro's
you like.
And Wolfgang's.
Mastro's and Wolfgang's. Like, I'm not saying you got to number them, but if you want to pick a top three, like, these are the places I think of when I would think of writing or when you think of shooting an Entourage movie, Kevin. Like, these are the three locations I'd like to see.
It's in the future or ones.
No,
that
no.
Like used?
Meaning, like I want them to be back. Like yeah. I want to be there.
It's so hard because things change. And when we were shooting at Shelter, it was the place. And
right.
That's like Shelter. I feel like I'm 80 when I say yeah. It was that night at Shelter.
Actually, have Villa on the list as well because I feel like we had a big Villa run for a while.
We closed out season 6 at Villa.
Yes.
But it's the things that have lasted. The Earth Cafe and the Mastro's and things that have
I mean, Staples Center certainly lasted.
Earth Cafe, you know, when I directed episode 7 it was the second to last episode of the show and it was at Earth Cafe and I was literally like, Doug, please, we gotta come up. We should end up shooting at the farmer's market. But
something different.
The problem is, you can only shoot so many, you know, angle, I don't care how creative you are.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we the guys sat at that one table for probably...
We've seen every angle of the Earth Cafe.
15 episodes we sat at that one table.
You know
table.
What sucks is like I still love to go there because I do love their coffee and they're always packed. Like it's annoying. I just feel like there should be a back of the line for us because we've kind of... That line, they're always packed. It doesn't exist.
How about a free coffee?
I don't need the free coffee. Just I would. Do I have to wait 30 minutes? No. I'd rather pay, but bring it out quick.
I understand. It's all about, it's all about respect. Would have been nice. They should have a table for us.
They don't care.
They don't care at all.
Now, you talked about that you directed a couple of episodes, and obviously, look, the audience could guess that the three of us, and the other guys as well, but the three of us particularly have a friendship that extends way past the show. Did you just tell Doug Doug, I want to direct. How long did it take you to kind of
harassing him
for a long time,
yeah,
right?
It took 7 years.
You know,
it took 7 years.
You know, Kevin is...
That's a lot of trust you're giving Kevin to, you know?
It was a lot of trust, and I was very nervous to do it, and Kevin is exactly...
We've had great directors, and we've had, you know...
Like when you talk about how to make it in Hollywood, Kevin... He doesn't give up. And right. It wasn't that I didn't want him to do it. My stress was going to be everybody else is going to want to direct him.
Right.
And then it's a free
for
all.
And also he's one of the stars of the show.
And Kevin, you know, two things I'll say about it. Kevin went to everybody else and asked. He said,
yes,
he like actually brought like almost permission slips from everybody. Before I said it, I was like, I'm just worried about everybody else. So he called everybody else. He came to me armed with everything.
I remember
and
the phone call.
Kevin, honestly, he busted his ass probably. And I'm not saying he's better than anybody, but he was great. But he busted his ass directing harder than any director we had. He was fully... And that is a good point because normally I don't spend a lot of time like going to change the location. And Kevin was really obsessed, which I think it was great that we got to the farmer's market. And it's a location that should have been in this show earlier.
Absolutely. It's an LA staple.
And it's very... It's cool and it was exciting to make it. But, you know... He would call me all the time, and he came up with that great moment to make it like The Godfather, where Ari, you know, like he really matched the master, where Ari finds his phone,
gun,
you know,
behind
so,
the yeah,
yeah. So I mean, it's
the problem is, and this I think you could ask any, you could ask anybody. You don't really get when you're an actor on the show, you don't get credit. You don't get credit for it. Like you could look at that and go, "Wow, that was a good episode." I mean, I'm certainly as good as, you know, a bunch of other guys that we had, but. For whatever reason, when you're on the show,
you're part of the show. You should
get,
be.
You don't get any credit. It's
well, the
like,
truth is, no one knows who does what behind the scenes, and it's a funny thing because if someone directs a movie, and it's like if it's a great movie, the director gets all the credit in the world. Which, by the way, there's several movies I know of where the director almost had nothing to do with it. They were fired. People came in and reshoot, but they're considered a genius. But on a television show, they get no credit. And there's guys who do come in and. They just film the script, and there are guys who come in and have great ideas. Kevin did, you know. And he
my
had
point is, like, there's no reason why I shouldn't have been able to parlay two episodes of Entourage into an episode of whatever, right?
Right. Ballers,
Blackish,
Lev. Ballers,
you know, whatever. I don't know, the Goldbergs, whatever. I don't know, like one of the.
It's
one
a
of
funny
shows,
town,
you know?
Though. It's like they
it's
put
tricky,
you in a
Modern
box
Family.
And that's
yeah.
just you know the way it is. You know, they tell you that that's who you are and whatever. So
well, you guys have recently teamed up, and I'm sure everyone's seen it, and I've talked about it already on this podcast. You guys did. I won't even call it a commercial. Would you call it a commercial? Or would you call it like a viral video?
Short form content.
Short form content for Johnny Walker with Kevin Dillon. Yeah. I mean, first of all, how was it to kind of step away? Like you're doing something that's a part of the show brand, but yet you have one focus of one character.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to move five different pieces. Well, where's E? Where's Turret? It's like, what are we
for
doing
me, it was
with Johnny
fun.
Drama?
To me, it was fun.
The commercial's awesome, by the way. The
short form
film
content.
Check that out, Johnny for Johnny on YouTube.
It's phenomenal. I feel like everyone's already seen it and watch it again. It's awesome.
But anyway, for me, it was a lot of fun and it was easy. And like we've always done with the show, it's only partnering with brands that we love and we're all Johnny Walker fans, so they were supportive and cool and let us do what we wanted to do, which was amazing.
It's also hard to, you know, it's brand integration, so it's like, okay, we need to promote Entourage, we need to promote Johnny Walker
in a non-cheesy
and we need it to be funny,
right?
So that was the best thing too about Kevin. I mean, I think if it was all of us, I mean there was a cool version of it, mm-hmm. but I mean there was something about just Dylan and
that he's an actor, he can do a commercial, you know, so.
right. So. No, it was fun, but it was one day, and it should have been two. But that's just me complaining.
But that's just the director.
Budgetary constraints.
That's just the director in you. All right, let's see where we're going here next. I have a whole... Oh, my God. Do we do this?
Terry always has lots of notes.
I like it. I
like
his preparation.
I mean, I found something that's funny online. I found a quiz, an Entourage quiz. And there was a couple, and a couple of them are really generic, easy things. And there was one that I even found, like, I don't...
Because you, Jerry, you would always be, I mean, aside from Doug, you would always be my go-to Entourage historian in terms of episode.
I've learned a lot with this podcast, too. Let me tell you, in the countdown, because I've gone back and I've learned
Jerry's
a lot.
Jerry's younger than me. I forget a lot. I really do. I forget things.
Let's go.
You want to do it?
Let's go.
All right. And I'm going to have to
give
the credit. No time limit. But let's keep, I mean, this is a podcast, guys.
By the way, also, Jerry, there's something that I'm gonna give to you. Maybe this should be for off air, but somebody, did you get the tweet thing about your hats? Somebody broke down
96 episodes of every hat that well, you've worn.
I also that's insane.
It's insane
because I've worn.
And then he ranked them in like in terms of like
200
87 hats you wore.
Wow, 87 different hats.
Well, 87 I also different hats, and then like he broke them down to which ones he hated and to which ones. I mean, this guy, I'm like,
wow.
I was impressed at his. I'm also concerned.
Well, we'll also talk if I we have time. My buddy Cole, who reached out to me on Facebook, and I'll read some of his stuff. The guy, he never broke down all our financial things, but I have the email from like a student who just happened, he was studying for some law degree, happened to be listening to our podcast, right. Doug. Or maybe he was the one, I think it was you and I. And
probably mine.
And he wanted to figure out like Vince's net worth over the year. He has it like seasonally broken down. So I want to also.
You, my friends have always, Toby McGuire, or my oldest buddies, has been screaming that Vince is broke for
dead
years.
Dead. Vince has
no
money.
There is no doubt that Toby, Vince would be broke.
Toby said that Vince does not have a pot to piss in.
What Toby doesn't know is that Vince secretly invested in Uber.
He, because I always said, like, you know, E still has his communion money.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
He has a mutual fund. He has an IRA.
He's got it socked away.
He's got a good
he's
IRA.
Still living for free. Vince, I mean,
Vince will come
when
to
when E
for
retires
money.
His pension, he's going to be getting $50,000 a month for life. Right. E's pension is solid. So we're going to talk too. We'll it's actually good to actually hear what I found most interesting about what Cole put together was hearing what Vince got paid for certain movies, but also hearing what he passed on, which we'll go through in the email. I have that. But all right, we're going to play a little Entourage trivia. I found this. I'll give credit to the website once I actually find out what their name is. Oh, boy. All right. I'm going to lead off with this. And whoever, just shout it out if you know. What was the name of Johnny Drama's first film festival where he was the toast of the town?
Palm Springs Film Festival.
I have no clue.
Doug, that is correct.
Is it?
Palm Springs International.
This guy, oh, wow. I only wrote it. I mean, I hope well, you remember it.
The truth is, because that was the first place I had a film in. That's why I was there.
I'm going to ask this one. Let's give Kevin a chance to answer because you should know this one because I know you wrote
this. I'll let Kevin.
Connolly, who was signed on to direct Aquaman 2?
Michael Bay.
That is correct, sir.
It's an
easy
one.
I knew
that.
Doug, yeah, we wish you had that one back.
Doug,
we wish you had that one back.
Which version of CSI did Drama audition for in season
Minnesota.
One?
In season one, no.
Season
that was
one,
later.
I'm going to give it to
Minneapolis.
You. Minneapolis is
by
the
way,
correct answer.
I knew that. I knew that.
I would have given this one to you. All right, we're going to go Connolly. The two films Billy Walsh said were my, in reference to Queens Boulevard. Like, this is my. Queens Boulevard's my. There's two of them. That's right. By the way, listeners, while Kevin thinks, my mom is in the audience. This podcast is being taped in front of a live studio audience. My mom's sitting
on the couch.
All right,
how about this? Give me one of them.
Okay.
No, let me guess.
Okay, Doug, you give Kevin one.
I'm going to guess.
Guess one.
Citizen Kane.
Wow.
I know.
Apocalypse.
Doug, just stop
no,
talking.
I knew it was going to be more. It's going to be.
You want one?
Is it a
give me
Lee
one.
Movie?
Okay, how about this? I'll give you some of the line.
Okay.
Wick, this is my. Scott Way says
I know what it is.
Doug?
I know it is. Deer Hunter.
Deer Hunter is one. Correct. Do you know the other one?
Serpico.
No, the hint is one of the actors in Deer Hunter was also in this movie.
Now I know what it is.
Okay.
We're going to have to buzz you.
Raging Bull.
Is Jimmy Caan in the movie?
No. The correct answer is Mean Streets.
It's my Deer Hunter. It's my Mean Streets.
All right. This one, anyone?
I knew it was that time frame, by the way.
This one,
I knew it wasn't going to be a David Lean movie. I knew it wasn't going to be a David Lean.
This is going to be another Billy Walsh one. What is Billy Walsh's porn director alias?
I remember this.
What is it?
It's a great name.
Buck Naked is George Costanza on Seinfeld. No. It was
what is Billy Walsh's porn director
that's
alias?
That's a great trivia question. I do not know.
The correct answer is Wally Balls. Doug, you know. You want to know why you know it, Doug? Because at some point in your
this
life,
this is making me feel really
Wally
bad.
At some point in your life, yeah. You wrote that. Yeah. So yes, of course, it's somewhere in that brain of yours. Because at some point, you wrote it. All right, we're gonna loosen it up a little bit. I think this one's a little easier. I think Connolly, this is just a long time ago. We'll go to Connolly here or whoever wants to jump in. Why did Colin Farrell have to pull out of Matterhorn?
He broke his arm.
That is correct.
I knew that. I knew that.
All right. Moving right along. sorry, I'm just looking through the questions, everybody. All right. Name the girl drama meets in Cannes. Her name.
Oh, I can tell you that she was a nightmare.
That's Julia.
We can tell you that she was tough at times.
God, what a nightmare.
Wasn't she the one that...
her character name?
Her character
name. Wait, wasn't she the one that Kevin is like really... the nicest guy till you turn him, and don't you like greet the guests? So Kevin went to say hello.
No, we
to
were
her,
getting or... wired. We right, were getting wired. So we were putting our microphones on, and I was like, "So did you have a good trip in from where you're coming from?"
She's from France.
She's like, shh.
She put a hand up and shushed you.
I need a moment.
Was she doing her 5 W's?
I'm like, for what? A moment for what? You have no lines in the scene. You're standing there in a bikini. What are you talking about?
That's the best because he'll call me. He's like, that girl. I just want to tell you right now.
I laughed at first because I thought she was kidding, but she was actually dead serious. spoke to her.
I did find out. That, well, I'll give the shout out. Well, I can't. Sporacle.com is where I'm getting these questions from. So thank you.
Good work.
We're not Sporacle. Trying to plagiarize. Her name is Jacqueline. Baby Jacques, as Johnny Drama.
I would have never would call it.
Okay.
Never.
In the Dream Team episode, and Doug, if you know it, give Connolly a chance. In the Dream Team episode, what is the name of the book for which Billy is writing a screen adaptation for Vince to star in?
I have no clue.
No clue.
I love this trivia game. The correct answer is Lost in the Clouds.
Oh, well, we end up.
I remember that now. Lost in the Clouds.
All right, moving on. In the episode The Abyss, where do Ari and Lloyd set up their temporary office? It's a little tricky.
What season do you know?
The Abyss, I want to say season 2.
Like the Hamburger Hamlet or something? I have no idea.
He right?
No, he's not right. But it's a very famous... All right, a little trivia I'll give
the
you.
The grill.
No. The answer is the coffee bean. But a very specific coffee bean. And I'll give you a funny story. It's the coffee bean that faces... Sunset Starbucks. Yeah, they literally
want to show. By the way, we did a scene where they're across the street.
I'm at Starbucks. Where are you? We're at Coffee Bean, and we could see him across. I was at that coffee, the Starbucks, with Mike Young. Yeah. Swear to God, this is true. And we're sitting there having coffee, and you know those Segway tours they give. 15 people on the Segway. It's basically like Star Tours, except they do on the Segway. The Segway rolls up to the Starbucks, and I literally hear the guy has a megaphone. And he says, and over here is the Starbucks that is famously featured in an episode of Entourage because if you look across the street, there's a coffee bean. So I'm like, oh, shit. All right. You know what? This is going to be great. This is going to be great. I look over. I kind of smile at the leader. We're now making full eye contact. I look at 3 or 4 of the other Segway people, and I'm like smiling. I'm waiting for something that... And they just take off. I'm like, guys, I was in that scene you're talking about. Do you not, like, they couldn't even care.
That is so funny.
All right, moving right. Is this brutal for you guys?
No, I like it. Okay. I like it.
It's making me feel bad.
Here, next question. What was the name of the reporter who threatens to drown Aquaman? His character name. But we'll settle.
I'm going to assume it's one of my friends from high school.
No, it's...
It's played by Rain Wilson.
That I know.
What was his name? And it was based on...
It was based on the
Harvey... Harry... the website?
Yeah.
But you had to rename him.
What was his name? And I'll tell you what the other name
Harry,
was.
Harry... I don't know. What happened to that guy?
This guy could sink a movie faster than Steven Dorff.
Great line. Who wrote that line?
I wrote the line. Connolly changed from Kevin Smith to Steven Dorff.
Any guesses?
Nothing. Who is it?
R.J. Spencer.
I wouldn't have known that. I thought it was more off the wall.
All right, Mom, for this one, cover your ears for a second, please. Just please cover.
I'm 2 years old.
Just cover your ears for a second.
Pussy Patrol?
Yes, cover your ears.
Who are the three girls?
Name another member of the Pussy Patrol, not Jesse Jane.
No idea.
Not a porn guy, huh, Doug?
I just have no idea.
Remember, she comes to their, hi, this is, Jesse, this is my girl, blank, and my girl, blank. By the way, I'm saying all this confidently because I'm staring at the answers.
I'm blanking. I mean, I don't know that I ever knew their name.
We should have made you guys participate against the listener.
Not Tamara, like...
Starts with a T.
It does Tegan. Start with a Tegan.
Ding!
All right. I don't even know that from the show. I know that from my own personal viewing.
We only have a few more. Mom, you're supposed to be covering your ears.
Good one.
You got a knee slap from my... You got a... Oh. Okay. Where does Dana Gordon correctly say where she and Ari had sex back in the day?
Cabo.
Cabo.
Correctly. Ari thinks it's Cabo.
Cancun.
But remember?
It was like a Red Roof Inn somewhere. Or
yes.
Something.
Can you name where the Red Roof Inn is? That for extra points.
Bakersfield.
It was a Red Roof Inn in Rosarito.
Rosarito.
All right. Last few questions. We're gonna go easy on you guys here for the last few. What is Andrew Klein's wife's name?
Well, that's obvious because it's one of my best friends, so I wouldn't even.
I have no clue.
Doug?
It's Marlo.
All right.
It's Andrew Marlo Klein.
And this is also one of your best friends. What is the name? Well, one of your friends, I believe, is named after this guy, I believe. What is the name of Ari's overweight friend who makes $45 million on stamps.com, played by Artie Lang?
That's one of my best friends. You know who that is. Stu.
Stu.
Yeah. Kevin definitely doesn't know his
Scott
name.
Scott Spiegel. Oh, Scott Spiegel.
Yeah. We call him Stu.
And that was the Entourage trivia game, everybody.
There we go. Good trivia game. All by right. the way, I was terrible at the Entourage
trivia.
I knew Tegan, the porn star. That was the only one I was able to get
out. By the way, just as a footnote.
Those are good questions.
Those are good questions.
We'll have the screening
Sporico.com, is it?
Sporical. Sporical.
Good work. They do all sorts of good quizzes. But just as a interesting tidbit, for the screening in New York, there'll be at least... It literally 50 people whose names have been on the show or characters that have been named after the show. At least.
You know, the Doug really did. Rarely is there ever a name that's in the show or the movie that's just gone to waste. There always is some.
I have a trivia question.
Okay.
Guy that I grew up with, my next door neighbor, one of my best friends in the world. We named the art, the piece of art that Ari got as a starting gift. Doug, I know you know this, so this one's at you,
You're
Jerry.
Turning the tables on the podcast.
What was the name of the artist that
what
Vince
and me?
Ari Gold bought Vince an art piece as a starting gift.
One of them was a fake, and I remember, no one could remember how to say it right.
And
what
was it? And the pronunciation was off.
It was like another Can thing.
Right.
Niche. No, don't. Ah,
it was a niche.
It's a niche.
It was a
Is
niche.
It a niche,
but it was
or a niche?
It was a niche, but everybody kept calling it a niche.
Somebody though, the colleague would call me up with that, like, do you mind? Can we use
no,
this?
No, no, no.
But
we
it worked.
Were bouncing names off of our
artists,
friends.
Right.
Like, a couple of your friends were like, you know.
It just didn't work. My Goldstein friends.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think Goldstein has to get a ring
Wiedelstein.
To it.
Do you guys want to hear some Vince financials?
Yes.
All right. So when we talked about, Cole, our buddy, wrote in and told us some stuff. He was going to do one for each character. I told him to maybe exclude mine because that steps on some stuff in the movie. I feel like the kid's in law school. He just forgot. So we've since lost touch.
No, he said he was in the middle of finals when you asked him.
Right. By the way, shows you how selfish I am. I'm like,
let
buddy.
Him study for his
finals. Finish it. Study for your finals and then do this already. Enough. You're taking too much time. I got like mad that the kid was taking finals.
Yeah.
So he said, it was the podcast. So here's the Vince early career that he just assumed. And I don't know how much time and effort you put into thinking about Vince's finances, Doug.
No, I knew he was broke all the time. And I knew we were faking. How's he living in this? How's he living here? You know?
Let's hear it. Rattle him off.
It'd be great if he's broken.
Well, he starts at Mentos and a guest spot on Jag that he was paid $666 for. Head on was undisclosed. Matterhorn offered $4 million but declined. Queens Boulevard paid $60,000, spent half on a private plane to New York.
True.
Chinese energy drink commercial, $500,000. Tapping the source. With Harvey Weinstein, offered undisclosed amount, but also declined. Well, Harvey Weingart, I'm sorry. Undisclosed amount, but declined. Notable financial transactions. Leases a Rolls Royce for $319,000. Marvin informs Vince he could only afford a house worth $1 million. Estimated net worth at this time, $500,000 to $1 million. Then he put a comment. His spending habits in this period are probably the most unrealistic, given how unlikely it is he would be able to afford such lavish living.
But his $500,000 net worth at that point is absurd because the way he spends, he's
That's
definitely
what he's
negative.
Saying.
But I'm saying there's no net worth at all. He's,
That's
in the, he's negative.
That's what Cole's basically saying. He's like, it just wouldn't.
He's negative. He's living, he's borrowing, he's doing everything.
He's
he can,
living on
know?
Credit.
Yeah.
So right now, he's a financial disaster.
Disaster.
Okay, now this is where Cole labeled it Vince's breakthrough. Aquaman, $2 million. Offered $5 million initially as part of a trilogy. Aquaman 2, paid an advance check for $1 million that he did get. Offered $12.5 million but declined and gets fired. Clouds Silo, advanced check. Lost in the Clouds Silo, advanced check of $2 million. I Want to Be Sedated, never made the Ramones movie. Glimpses, the Sam Mendes project, Vince passes on. Medellin, Vince not paid. By notable way, transactions.
Out of pocket. Out of pocket. That one cost me $224,000.
By the way, in the same
he has thing. The exact number. Wait, I'm not done. Notable transactions. Marlon Brando's old house for $4 million with a mortgage in season 3B.
By the way, that house was worth way
that
more than
like
$4
million.
That house
was a $30 million house. In season 3B, Vince's quote is said to be $6 million. Vince pays $5 million for the Medellin script, and E contributes $237,642.
By the way, just to interject, in please. The same exact period, Mark Wahlberg makes 100 plus. He does, for real. Right.
Oh,
in
yeah,
the same
yeah,
period.
Yeah, for sure.
In the same period. So you could see the difference between Vince and Mark.
Estimated net worth. Vince has paid $2 million for Aquaman, uses the money to purchase the house, which is worth $4 million. Let me just get to the point here. His net worth at the end of season 3, by the way, I figure is a little under $5 million, but which is concentrated now solely in the Medellin project. Basically, all his net worth is in this movie, Medellin.
Right. That broke us.
We agree. We yeah. feel like this is out of par. Now he labels this the fall from stardom. Danger Beach. Vince not actually offered Danger Beach. Sweet 16 paid appearance. $250,000. Benji. Offered $3 million but passed.
Thank God.
Dolce & Gabbana photo shoot. Offered $1 million but opts out to shoot Smoke Jumpers, where he is going to assume Vince got his quote on Smoke Jumpers for $6 million. Pretty big.
Fair
assumption.
Enough, though. Fair enough. It's a TV show. Fair enough.
Notable financial transactions in season 5. Marvin tells Vince, you must declare bankruptcy.
Why do they say everything works out for this guy, by the way? It's terrible what's going on.
Estimated net worth. In season 4, Vince returns from Italy after shooting Medellin because he is broke. He eventually receives a $2 million advance check for Silo, which he presumably spends on personal expenses and a $30,000 a month house rental. After Medellin flops, along with the money he put into it, he's completely broke again. $250,000 for the event appearance, which he puts towards personal expenses, and we're assuming $6 million for his quote, but it's a little unclear. And I don't know if he got paid at all because the movie was stopped. And then he goes on and on.
Wow.
How we feel. Kid's in financial trouble.
I mean, he always was.
But look about, he's so far, I believe he's left somewhere near $20 million on the table.
It's interesting to note that the first pilot script I ever handed in was Vince was going broke.
Is that right?
Yeah. And Head On was a bomb. It was a fucking disaster. And he was going broke. And Marvin was in it telling them they were going to basically have to pack up all their stuff.
Get him an unlimited.
And HBO's big. HBO's
you're going on a hunger strike.
HBO's big note is no. We got to have fun. We got to start him up. But the key to keep the show going was to keep him down, because if he is Mark or Leo, it's just like, okay. He makes another 20. He makes another 40. And like, what's to see? There's nothing. There's needed confidence.
Well, the kid's in a lot of trouble, and he's probably left $20 million on the table at this point. Now he call labels the return to stardom. Great Gatsby, undisclosed, but assuming Vince got paid well. Animated film, Voice of a Dog, paid $4 million. Ferrari.
So got 3 for Gatsby, 4 for that, so 7.
Ferrari. His quote, full boat. 6.
Full boat.
Cassavetes action film.
Full boat.
Airwalker, which we don't think he actually did. $12 million plus back end, but we don't know if he actually ended up ever doing Airwalker.
Airwalker sounds like a good movie.
Well, we're going to go. That's going to be our. We'll probably wrap up with some of that. Offer worth over $100 million for the trilogy package with back end and Airwalker. Somewhere there was a line he said that it said Vince could make $100 million.
Oh, yeah, with gross and everything.
Notable financial transactions. In season 6 finale, Ari tells Matt Damon, Vince made $20 million this year. And, $16 million between Gatsby and Ferrari. So he assumed $8 million apiece for those. And then in season 7, 8, Vince invests $1.1 million in Avion with a return of $15 million after its IP. He figured out all the IPO. Estimated net worth. Vince's net worth now, $12.5 million based on all the $20 million lucrative income from those movies I just named.
So what does he have penciled in at being worth at the end of the
right show? Now he has,
four hide.
Estimated net worth is $12.5 million. He's worth $12.5 million.
That's fair enough.
That's a lot of money. So, and also you got to think, if he's worth 12 and a half, that means he made 25.
It would be tough for Vince to put away 12 and a half while he's supporting this entire
Well, he kind of stopped there.
Flying, yeah, he probably supports himself, and Turtle's doing well, but flying private jets, paying taxes, I mean, you know, so 25 does not turn into 12. 25 turns into about 10 after agents.
So he must have made close to 30 then.
Yeah, he'll have a tough time having 12 and a half in the bank.
In conclusion, it's extremely difficult to determine Vince's net worth due to the conflicting nature of the storyline and sometimes unidentified value of offers. Nonetheless, I think I estimated it to the best I could with the limited knowledge I had.
I think he's done well. I don't know why he's in law school.
I'm a huge Entourage fan and pay extreme attention to detail. If Doug Allen needs a consultant to ensure his facts are correct financially for the sequel, I'm in.
Look, I had Ari lost a kid in season 2 to 3. I'm not good with this stuff, so.
Well, he hopefully got his law degree at some point, but yes, he should be doing something financial. Guys, by the way, we are well at the 75 minute limit, so not limit, but time. I thank you, but I do have some more stuff. You guys in any rush?
I got nowhere to be except with my daughter, so I gotta leave soon.
Oh,
no, I'm good.
By the way, just hit the buzzer. Let's talk for a second now and Colin, I want you to think as a filmmaker and director, and Doug, you as well. Mm-hmm. Just as a filmmaker, which of the faux Entourage movies, whether they actually happen or not for the Vince character, would you like to direct? And again, we could throw some, remember, like, obviously you have Queens Boulevard, Medellin, Head On, Hyde, which is featured in the new Entourage movie, Lost in the Clouds, the Ramones movie, anything that pops into your head, which would you actually like to make? Like, wow, I actually think we can make that, and I think I could make it cool.
You know,
Ferrari, Gatsby.
With Adrian?
The movie, just the what movie
listen,
would you like to
I would,
make?
And I've
Matterhorn. You can make Matterhorn.
I've been begging. Listen, Medellin is right. I've been begging Doug. I've always thought it would be a great, not an A storyline, but like just some kind of a light storyline that Medellin is kind of picking up traction and is like playing at the New Art on Saturdays, and like people are quoting it. And me personally, I'd like a crack at Medellin.
You would like to direct Medellin.
Yes, without Vince.
The one that almost broke us all.
Without Vince.
Vince. You cast Benicio.
Starring Benicio Del Toro.
Doug, which one of not even the Vince movie. It could be any movie that would have existed in the land you created.
You know, Medellin would probably be the one or the Ramones, you know?
The Ramones is an interesting one.
The Ramones just felt like super indie.
Right.
Like even on a high end, Medellin could have been 100, you could make a $100 million version of Medellin.
They're going to, or if they're not already.
Right, or somebody's going to take a stab at that.
They really make an Aquaman. And by the way, like I still do think, and Jason Momoa, if I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly, don't you think they should call Grenier and just stick him in a cameo? Like I'm talking 5 seconds, like put him in the bed, just get him a shot. I just think the audience. The answer to that is no.
I would have liked to see James Cameron do Aquaman. That's what I would have liked to see. More than me directing any of these movies, I would have liked to see James Cameron
do
Aquaman.
That would be dope.
I mean, that would be something. And I would like to see Martin Scorsese's Great Gatsby.
Well, that's the thing. Like, me personally, I think I would. First of all, and this is not going to be a shameless plug for the movie, like, I'm very interested in Hyde. Hyde looks.
Well, also too, it's very current. That electronic dance music is very
popular.
Yeah,
I guess, and I'm definitely no filmmaker at all, but I would maybe take a swing on
that. Would be your that'd be yours, huh?
I think so. I mean, it looks like it could be cool. Sorry, I'm seeing if we have any other Twitter questions. No. Okay. Lastly, Doug, I'm not even going to ask what character you think would win in a fight. Since we're doing WWE Raw, which character do you think comes out victorious in the Royal Rumble?
I'm sorry, what?
What character of the five guys comes out victorious in the Royal Rumble?
Well, you would...
Character, not Kevin Conley.
Drama's not banged up. The problem is Dylan is such a warrior, but he's just got... so many injuries.
What do they call age and attrition?
He's got two bad. He's got two bad legs.
I think Conley.
No. Well, this is E. This isn't Kevin Connolly. I'm talking about which character.
Ari Gold. Probably Ari Gold.
I feel like they're gonna.
Probably Ari works out. He does yoga.
Turtles. I think Turtles got the best stamina.
The new turtle.
The new turtle has the best stamina.
The new turtle's right there. You know, Vince goes over the top rope in about 4 seconds.
All right, I got some sequel pitches.
Okay.
These were not written by me. These were intended to be awful pitches. But okay. I just want to see if I can just get your mind sparked for if we ever do.
Yeah, who knows? Well, listen, spark no such thing as a bad idea.
Okay, sequel. Vince is missing. Like Taken.
Take it. Like and Taken. Turtle and
we have to find him. We go somewhere, and next thing you know, where's Vince? Vince is missing for days.
Could be interesting. Is he? Is he been sold to like a like Saudi
Vince
family
is
or dropped. Something?
Vince is just like,
he's, where is he?
Have you spoken to Vince?
Dude, he hasn't answered my calls. Where is he? Was he supposed to be at the thing?
It's not terrible.
Okay. All the guys are having kids at the same time.
that's
not going to be.
Ari runs for governor of California.
Not bad. Not bad.
Turtle becomes a professional poker player after getting Madoff'd and loses all his money. E is asked to direct a movie and doesn't hire Vince.
Interesting.
Drama gets an offer to replace, I'm not going to say Paul Walker, but replace a big superhero.
For somebody.
Yeah,
in a
big
franchise.
I love Dylan as one of the X-Men, by the way.
By the way, Dylan is one of the X-Men. That's a great idea.
That's all I got, bro. Those are my bad pitches.
By the way, that last pitch could be the one. Dylan is one of the new X-Men.
As Cyclops or something. I got another knee slapper from my mom. Mom, do you have any questions? Before we go, you have any questions for the guys?
She does.
You do?
I just have one.
Here,
come over here for a second, Mom. Before.
Because I know they're Long Island guys. Uh-huh. How do you feel about the Nassau Coliseum closing? I'm not a Long Island person. I'm a Brooklyn girl, Madison Square Garden, and I like feel so bad about the Nassau
today,
Coliseum.
Somebody sent me something on Twitter today, and it was a time-lapse video of them pulling the banners down.
Oh.
And chopping it. The ice has been there for 40.
I saw that with the
ice
being,
has been there for 43 years, and it's gone.
I saw
and
that.
Did a time lapse of bringing down all the retired.
That's
guys.
Tough to watch, man.
Yeah, it was hard.
And
I'm,
I was thinking
I feel,
about you guys before.
I feel terrible.
I could imagine.
In fact, I tweeted the county supervisor. I tweeted the county supervisor against.
So is it ever going to come back? Like eventually
they're building an arena.
Rebuild?
They're building an arena of a small like that only holds 13,000
on that
never,
same spot.
You could never be pro. You could never play.
They're not
going
to have hockey.
Nope.
How do you feel about it going to? Where's it going to Brooklyn?
Barclays.
Will you go there to Brooklyn?
I will be at the Barclays.
You will go where they go.
I will go.
Yeah, I mean they're still New York. Look, the Giants are in New Jersey.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's something.
And by the way, the Yankees are in the Bronx.
Long Island.
Going to a Yankee game from my house in Long Island's a nightmare.
I don't think. Yeah, but.
That's it. Going to Barclays Center, Brooklyn's
Bronx,
a nightmare.
I mean, there's not a pro sports team in Long Island.
Nope. Right. That's it. They lost him.
That's horrific. So.
Like I said, I
good
felt
question.
Bad about it
good
when
question,
I saw them
though.
Breaking up the ice. I says, and then when I saw you guys
it's
before, I says, wow, I wonder how they feel.
They literally,
it.
It's gone. Because it was always covered. So like, no matter what was going on, they were just
but
covered
the ice
up.
Was always
the,
there.
The ice was always there, and now it is just gone.
I saw them. I saw that.
The Rangers
you,
cannot
Mom.
Score,
you're
by the way.
You're quite welcome.
Yeah. Would you like to go back to the couch? Yeah. I think that's your time. Sorry, Mom, that's your time. Mom, thank you. That's your time. Your
my
time's
son
up.
Has
thank
put
you.
Me to the curb.
Oh, you do?
No, that was.
Oh, I thought you only had one.
Wow, he's putting me to the curb.
Oh, yeah. To the couch.
That's like the curb.
That's the VIP lounge.
VIP lounge.
Oh, okay. Thank you guys so much.
Great.
Again, Entourage.
That's
how
it.
Do we
sure
feel? Well, how do we feel about June 3rd, guys?
We're ready.
I'm nervous.
We have a 5-day weekend.
It feels to me like, I mean, again, I've never been pregnant or had a baby, but I would imagine what it would be like.
This is what it feels like, right?
Like
you're ready to see what this thing looks
like. Let's see
already.
If this kid's ugly or not, or like if
the thing is that the tough thing about it is, honestly, without being arrogant, we know the movie's good. We've tested
the movie
it. We've shown it to 6 full houses of theaters. They vote. They write how much they like it. And people are really loving the movie. And most of them are saying, even people who are excited for it, that it's even better than they thought it was going to be. So we know it's good. It's just a question of will people show up. And to your followers here, Jerry.
We need you.
Yeah, we really need you.
We
this
need
is,
a sequel.
This is
you
the,
to go to the theater. Yeah.
This is the
movie.
Least expensive, you know, studio movie that'll come out this summer. And, you know, if we want to see another one, everyone's got to show up and don't wait. You know?
Yeah, you want to get some retweets? Send us pictures of your ticket stubs.
Yes.
With
yeah.
you and your ticket stubs.
Yeah.
And I sure as shit will retweet
them.
And also,
retweet
you know what I want to do? And I'm going to ask you guys when the moment's right. I mean, officially, this is an off-the-record ask because we did it with Think Like a Man and it worked well. movie theater pop-ins, meaning like we would do it wherever we were. Like if you're in New York, I'm in LA, you kind of spread out and like you literally set up at the Grove, like, all right, opening night, and they're about to show the movie now. They do their little speech, the ushers do their speech, and you just pop in and be like, thank you everyone for fucking buying tickets. The whole theater gets like free popcorn. You say, we hope you like the movie. Go see it again if you want. Tell a friend. That was real. We did it with Think Like a Man because there were so many cast members and it worked really well. That's and I think the fans of Entourage.
What do you call
it? You know, it's only on, you only do it opening day.
I'd love to see. We sit Dylan down in a theater and someone gets up and he just goes,
you don't have to stay and watch.
Sit down, bro.
You don't stay and watch the movie. You kind of just thank them for showing up. You buy them around the popcorn.
That's great. And by the way, I'm going to offer up all the cast members. Anyone who buys 5,000 tickets, I will get a cast member to show up at a theater. Okay, I don't know which one because Jerry and Kevin just looked at me like, not me, but someone.
Where's that
5,000 tickets? I'll get a cast member to show up.
Right. Well, I wonder which cast member you're going to get.
And don't do it in Europe. Okay.
Well, we're thinking the south of France, so if you guys could do it.
Russia.
Well, it's coming soon, guys. June 3rd. And
the countdown begins.
Thanks, Jerry.
We're here.
All right. Take care, everybody. Thank you for listening.
It's a good podcast,
for business.